Hello, I'm Kiara, world traveler, breathwork facilitator, and life coach. In this podcast, we deconstruct overrated societal norms and shed some light on what it means to be human. From taboo topics such as orgasms to vulnerable conversations on childhood trauma, no topic is off limits. You'll walk away with alternative healing modalities, mindset hacks, and most importantly, a new perspective. In a world where most people are just surviving, I want to help you thrive. Now let's go deeper. Limiting beliefs. We all have them. They're the things that we subconsciously believe about ourselves and show up in our lives under the surface. Every single day, we base life decisions on what we believe we can or cannot do. We carry ourselves and emulate out into the world that which is going on internally. Our subconscious makes up 95% of our reality. This is because we are acting off of what we think we know, what we have been through, and what we have learned. Our brain is one big computer system with a set amount of data. Now, obviously, it's not going to overload our prefrontal cortex, which is our thinking mind, with all of that information. So it stores what you believe to know about life in the subconscious, and it plays out that information in your day-to-day life. This is great if you have a healthy belief structure and practice discernment. However, even the most put together of humans have limiting beliefs that they have adopted in childhood. The good news? Anytime someone develops a set of beliefs, values, or perspectives that aren't authentic to us as individuals, the emotional body will send a message. It's our own internal bullshitometer, if you will. It goes off anytime you aren't embodying your authentic self or believing things about yourself that are simply just not true. Unfortunately, due to societal conditioning, how we were raised, and the emphasis on ignoring our emotions, we stopped listening to our own innate wisdom. This usually starts when we're young, and we were not given the space to process our emotions or have them validated by our caregivers. This looks like being shushed, not feeling safe enough to express something big, or being in a family dynamic where you never felt heard or seen. It could also be that if you were seen, that may have meant abuse or harm, so you kept yourself small instead. Regardless of how we detached from our emotions, the outcome is still the same. We end up starting a pattern of using external resources to numb our emotions because they were just too big to carry on our own. This makes us constantly betray ourselves in our authentic unfoldment, cripples our intuition, and leads to a lot of resistance and inner turmoil. When we don't have the support system or the ability to tend to ourselves as needed, we turn to other means of dealing with this loss of self, and this results in unhealthy coping mechanisms that remain active in our reality until we are ready to heal and clear them. This is why feeling our feelings can be so challenging, because we have been choosing other ways to deal with the pain for so long now. By pain, I mean the pain of hiding our true selves, of disembodying our truth, and not using our voice. So this is mental pain, inner pain, emotional pain. This creates unhealthy neural pathways and patterned responses, and the longer the patterns remain active, the greater the potential for personal identification with them, especially for those who identify with their victim stories as who they are. If you feel like you are inherently broken, never happy, full of anxiety, or feel like something is always missing, I found with past clients that it may mean you're clinging to a victim story. A victim story is something that isn't inherently true, but you believe it to be so. It's anything that's taking you out of your power. So as soon as we start identifying with these limiting beliefs and coping strategies that we adopted in early childhood to numb the pain, we have forfeited our power to them, trapping us in a victim spiral until we are ready to reclaim our personal truth and sovereignty. But here's the beautiful thing about how this works. At any moment, we can release the limiting beliefs we have been carrying, which have been causing our suffering. In a single instance of authentic lucidity, we can choose to honor the truth within us and release every lie we have ever been told about ourselves or this life. Shifting our patterns, triggers, and neural pathways is the work. But once we do it, and we clear all the things that have been holding us back, we make space for all the things we have been wanting to enter into our life, but we're just too scared or didn't feel worthy enough to have. To do this, we need to stop numbing and tune into our emotions. They are our compass. They exist to inform us of how well we are meeting our needs. When we listen to them, we shift into a more empowered perspective. We attract uplifting environments and soul-supportive relationships. As you all know, our outer world reflects our inner world. When you do the work on yourself, things in your external world start to shift. This also brings me to my next point. So many people think that an outside circumstance is the sole cause of a painful emotion. The reality, however, that the way you are thinking, interpreting, and drawing conclusions based on your perceptual lens, belief system, past experiences, is instead the cause of your painful emotion. So, for example, the other day I got on the phone to tell my mom I wanted to go to grad school to be part of this amazing research team making groundbreaking discoveries in somatic psychotherapy. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's a fairly new discovery in the field of psychology. And her response? Oh, well, if you don't get in, you can always just come back to California. Let me tell you, that hurt. Instantly, my unworthiness wounds kicked in. I felt small, dumb, and unloved. Our brains and bodies really are astounding. All this happened in a matter of milliseconds. Like a computer system, it took in what she said, the data, ran it across all my old programming, the limiting beliefs, my perceptual lenses, past experiences, all of it, made a conclusion, which is that I was too dumb to get into grad school, and then sent the information through my nervous system to be processed. The nervous system, in charge of emotional regulation, then sent physical pain signals. This looked like a tightening of the chest, a drop in my stomach, and a pain in my heart. All physical manifestations that this is not in alignment with who I am, that there is a disconnect, that there is something I need to work through here. You see, her statement had nothing to do with me. This was her projecting her own insecurities and belief systems. It could also be her trying to protect me. There is a multitude of reasons why she said what she said and what she really meant by it. But instead, I got highly triggered. Why? Because I had shit to work through here. It made me realize that I still had some limiting beliefs around my worth, my intelligence, and that I still deeply cared about what she thought of me. Now, logically, I know I can get into this program. I've checked all the boxes, have the grades, the background, the credentials. But emotionally, not so much. Deep inside, I had this fear that somehow I wouldn't get in, that the admissions board would see past all the achievements I had on paper and know that I wasn't quote-unquote smart enough for this program. My highly emotional response to what my mother said helped me uncover that. Because moment to moment, you are writing a story based on the sum total of your life experience and worldview. Your emotional body is always communicating to you whether you are in your truth or marooned from it. The limiting beliefs we adopt as we age show up in our lives in creative ways, attracting us to real situations which are malnourishing and often rooted in codependent coping strategies. This is why abuse victims stay in abusive relationships. In this case, I could have fallen victim to an old childhood wound and said, "You're right, Mom, I probably won't get in, and Colorado is crazy cold, so I'll just come back to California and live a comfortable but boring life." Obviously, not in those exact words, but you get the picture. I would have been playing small, not listening to my heart, and living by the limiting belief that I am not smart enough. Once we trace the limiting beliefs to their root, we can begin to release ourselves from any victim realities that we are unconsciously creating for ourselves. So, how do we identify limiting beliefs? Screenshot this timestamp or look at the blog post on my website, which is linked in my podcast notes, for the step-by-step list. Otherwise, I'm about to get started. The first step is to be grateful for your emotional signals. Yes, grateful, because your emotions are information. Emotional pain is a call to fix what we have stifled for so long in order to grow and expand. I am grateful for that conversation with my mom, because now I can work on uprooting this ridiculous limiting belief. It is also further evidence that the universe has not abandoned you. It is sending you signals every day to embody your truth, to never limit yourself, and to never live a life that does not honor your soul. After you express gratitude, notice how you behave or respond once that emotion is triggered. Is there a pattern to the way that you cope with the feeling? List any coping strategies that don't involve honoring the wisdom in this emotion and uprooting the perceptual distortion that stimulated it. For me, my go-to was food. It's comforting and I get a level of certainty around it, meaning that every time I eat something delicious, I know it's going to feel good and that it provides a certain level of safety. Certainty is one of every human's basic motivators, so that made sense for me. I used to go to food to cope often until I developed awareness around it and worked with that awareness. That's the beauty in this work. The more awareness we have around something, the better we can get to know ourselves and grow from it. Other people may use alcohol, entertainment, TV, Netflix, social media. They may disassociate, they may go to bars, they may do drugs, or even use other people as a way to distract. Some people even excessively exercise. Regardless of the stigma our society has around the form of coping strategy that we use, whether quote-unquote positive or negative, if it is not honoring that emotion, then it is numbing it. So next, remind yourself that most external circumstances are inherently neutral, that we assign meaning to them, and that your perception is the cause of the disturbance that you're feeling. A better way to put this is, so my mom and I obviously have a long history, and there's been things that have been said and done in the past by both parties that aren't necessarily forthcoming. But we were operating from where we were at the time, with the knowledge that we had. I know that she's had a rough life. She's a first generation immigrant and struggles with finding the silver lining in things. She's never had things come easy to her, so she projects that onto others. In this case, assuming that I won't get into grad school. I, on the other hand, was operating off our past and my own limiting beliefs. I took what she said and ran it across all my old stories, assigned a meaning to what she said, and developed an emotional response off it. All purely based off how I interpreted the external circumstance. Note, I did not blame her or start a fight. Instead, I asked myself why I was feeling so triggered and delved from there. Now, obviously, this does not apply to extreme situations causing physical, emotional, or mental harm. If someone is yelling or being abusive towards you, then that's on them. And your body is obviously going to react accordingly based on your level of safety and sympathetic response. Now, this next step is going to feel awkward for some, especially if you've never actually sat with your feelings, let alone take the time in your busy schedule to just be with yourself. But this is the work. You may have been avoiding your feelings for so long now that you forgot how to feel. And you know what? That's okay. You're doing it now, and it'll become easier with time. So, the practice is, take 5 to 10 minutes to simply be with the uncomfortable feeling in your body and breathe deeply and slowly into that feeling. Temporarily let go of any notion that something out there is causing the feeling. Remember, what's causing your emotional response is how you're interpreting what's been said or done. Be kind to yourself and allow it to just be there. Don't assess it, don't judge it, just feel it. 5 to 10 minutes is going to feel like a lot, so start small and work your way up. If thoughts do come up, that's okay. Acknowledge them and let them go. Actually breathing deeply into your diaphragm will help with the overactive mind. Next, ask yourself, what meaning could I be creating right now for this emotion to be present? I.e., what story or narrative must I be believing to feel this? For example, the meaning I was creating for myself was that my own mother didn't think I was smart enough to get into this prestigious program. Once you have uncovered the meaning you were creating relative to this specific scenario, ask yourself, what must I be believing about myself or about this life for this to exist within me? Are you believing something such as, I am not worthy, not enough, not resourceful, not supported, not loved, not valued? For me to believe that my mom didn't think that I could get in, I had to believe that about myself first. Otherwise, these thoughts or emotions would never have come up in the first place. Let me repeat that again. For me to have that emotional response to my mother's fairly neutral words, I had to have that belief about myself, or I would never have interpreted her words in such a critical and limiting manner. That belief was inside me all along, just waiting to get triggered. Once you have uprooted the belief, identify the ways this belief acts out in your life. How you may be acting on this belief unconsciously or allowing unhealthy relationships to enter into your life because of this belief. Look into other areas of your life, because usually, if it's in one area, it seeps onto others. For example, if you have the belief of, I am not worthy, you could be entering into relationships with people that don't value you. You could not be taking care of yourself physically, spiritually, mentally, or not treating yourself with the honor and respect that you deserve. Ask yourself, what other things trigger this belief and any other painful emotional responses that correlate to the lack of self-worth, believe in self, or the idea that life does not support you? Lastly, ask yourself what you can imbue in its place. For example, I am infinite, I am creative, I am loved, I am resourceful, I am abundant, I am worthy, I am powerful, I am intelligent, I am valuable. All the good things. Repeat these things to yourself and fully feel into it. Do this as often as possible when painful emotions arise, and over time, you'll be able to identify the ways in which you have attempted to cope with the loss of self that occurs through adopting these limiting belief structures. you'll be able to see with clarity the things you have manifested in your life as a result of carrying such beliefs and be more motivated to dismantle them at their core. Because you know what? They're heavy. This is heavy shit. Also, the more you practice this, the lighter you will feel. You may notice that the vague sense of discontentment you were unconsciously accustomed to has vanished. Dismantling these limiting beliefs allow you to walk straighter, have more confidence in yourself, trust more, and love openly. This is the power of utilizing experiences which trigger our wounds. It's an opportunity to dislodge untrue narratives that you have been telling yourself all along. If you want to accelerate your growth and create new neural pathways for healthier coping strategies, I also really recommend breathwork. It's a physical tool you can use to create a deeper sense of empowerment, emotional intelligence, and clarity. Like I said before, I have a full list on my blog. If you want to read through this and look it over, obviously you're more than welcome to. I'll put that in the show notes. Until then, I hope you have the most amazing week. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed listening in, be sure to share it with me by leaving a review on iTunes. And if you aren't already following me on Instagram, log on and follow me at Kiara.Raphael. In the meantime, have the most magical day.